Morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know when you're watching your favourite program, or you're flicking through some videos on Facebook or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden an advert comes up. Do you know that feeling? You're like, just feel gutted. Like, why is there an advert all of a sudden? Well, that's exactly what we're going to do right now. So I've got a little video to intro us in, just for a minute.
When it stays on.
When it stays on, lads.
Yeah. When it stays on.
It's like Cristiano Ronaldo here.
Yeah?
I want Neymar.
Good advert. Not to just promote Nike stuff. There's also other products available in the sporting market. But Nike got their marketing team was spot on. You know, when I was younger, probably still am now, to be fair, and you're playing football, I'm just thinking, oh, who do I want to be? Who's my hero that I want to sort of be like and act like when I'm playing? And so there's a variety of professional footballers who are obviously in that advert and were acting. And in terms of today, we're going to go through a really exciting story that I guess is just almost 10 verses, which really encouraged me in terms of what I've been reading, what I've been unpacking, about two guys who have desired to be like their hero, their rabbi, their teacher, their Messiah, and to be like him, do what he did, and to be a real difference. Also, there's a great line in that video where there's a player called Neymar who's in the Brazilian yellow strip, and he sort of turned, passed it back to someone, and one of the other players said to him, Neymar would never do that. And I think even as we start off, there's a challenge for us to say, you know, almost what would, you know, that wristband that says, what would Jesus do? To be like, what would Jesus do in these situations? And sometimes we might walk away and be like, actually, that's not what Jesus would do in that situation. So that's just a little intro for us. So I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to look at it. So Father God, I just ask that you would just pour out your spirit on us right now in this place. Lord, we've got real expectation and anticipation for this morning that you want to do some amazing things here today. Father, we just want to say thank you for the guys we're going to read about and their faith and what that teaches us. But Lord, we just want to have our ears open to hear what you've got to say to us and our hearts ready to receive this morning. So Lord, please be in this place. Please come fill us this morning. Amen. So to be a Christian is to be Christ-like, to be an extension of Christ and who he was and who he is. So before we just dive into these scriptures, has anyone else been really excited? Because I feel really excited about, you know, the early church and Acts and what's happening, what's been happening at the moment, what we've been reading, what we're experiencing. Is anyone else really excited about this and excited about this morning? And it's really important for us just to remember that I'm not a history teacher. Thought about being a teacher once, didn't think I'd enjoy it with all the kids and, you know, back chat. But this is not a history lesson. This is alive today, as much as it was back then, is real today and real for us today. So what we're doing is we're just seeing essentially just examples of what other brothers and sisters in the faith have done, as well as what's happening all around the world today. Because the Holy Spirit is alive today and God is working today in this place. So where are we, I guess? Just a chapter before, just last week, we heard about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came over the believers in the most powerful way. And in that same part, we also read that Peter has changed from a person who is fearful, who is afraid to stand up for his faith, turn into someone who will just stand up and address a crowd. And then when you think about it, it says at the end of that, towards the end of chapter 2 in his address, that 3,000 people were added to that number that day. And there's two things, even just one thing that just popped into my head just now that amazes me. One is that Shepparton Town, I looked at the census data, is like 6,000, roughly 6,000 people live in Shepparton Town. And in one day, in one moment, 3,000 people were added. Like half of Shepparton, can you imagine one moment where half of Shepparton all decided, wow, we hear this, we believe this, my heart's changed. How amazing and encouraging is that? And the second thing is when I just talk about Peter being fearful, when you think about that 3,000 were added that day, do you kind of then think he must have spoken to 3,000 people in that one address? And just to have the Spirit fill him to sort of talk to 3,000 people is just amazing to see what the Spirit can do. And then in chapter 2, just before chapter 3, there's a little section from 42 onwards that just talks about the early church. It's a real snippet in there. Have a look, read it. But what happens is it says that the early church was devoted to teaching, to fellowship together, praying, breaking of bread, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders that were happening. Lots of wonders are happening in this moment. And there's just like four or five verses, but it sort of says from that place of where they were just filled with the Holy Spirit at the Pentecost to where we're going, that they're just meeting regularly together to pray, to be a church. And you know what it says right at the end of that little section? It says the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And I think for us as a church to be encouraging, you know, if we want to see people added to the number of the church, let's just look at that for an example. Let's get together, let's pray together, let's encourage each other, let's meet in fellowship, and let's get alongside the people, and let's do it together. And that's how God will add to his church. And that is awesome. That is awesome. So we're going to look at this story called The Lame Beggar. Peter heals a lame beggar, and it's in Acts 3. So it's 1 to 10 of the verses I'm looking at. If you've got a church Bible, it's page 1094. I think they will be up there. Perfect. So this is what it says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. That is just a beautiful story, a beautiful example of what God can do and what God, I guess, is looking to do and work with us. And for me, you kind of think there's this beauty around God weaving all paths and bringing people together. And at this point, there are two different stories completely happening, two different stories. We've got the journey that Peter and John have been on, and we've got this journey that this lame beggar has been on. And they're about to cross over. They're about to have an appointment, as it were, where they're going to meet. And that's where we're going to have a look. Helps if you have your pages in the right order. That sounds like that doesn't seem right. So what I love about this story is that Peter and John are just off to a prayer meeting. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they even set out to say, right, I don't know. But they're not. From what we read, we just know they're off to a prayer meeting, as if it's a Monday night down at the Gilsons. All they're doing is they're on their way to a prayer meeting. That's their plan that they've got, is to be on their way to a prayer meeting. And it just feels also really casual. Like the first two words start off one day. One day. Like there are some certain days in the Bible that have got significance. For example, the day of Pentecost is mentioned as a day of significance when the Holy Spirit came off. This is just one day. And I feel like it's almost maybe what the writer is trying to get across to us, even just in the beginning, even in the first two words, is to say that our God is not just a God of Sundays. Our God isn't just a God of the day your home group meets, but he is a God of every day. He wants to work in any day, and he is looking to partner with us on that. Because he is a God who wants to be breaking into situations in every day and to see lives transformed. And that is a great way for me. I just think of that and I think, wow, you just started off by one day. Just so as an encouragement to me, every day could be that day where you could see God move in your lives. And I love, so in terms of that whole aspect that they're off to a prayer meeting, and we know because it says in verse 46 of that chapter 2, it says every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. So it says that, and then it says they're off to the temple courts to pray. So we can look at it and think, we can make that leap to say they're going there to pray with the other believers on a daily basis, because prayer is really important. And I think sometimes we can think that maybe we get prayed out. I don't know if some other people think that. I remember at cell group on Thursday, the week before, I was saying, it'd be really great to have an extended time of prayer. And then on Thursday, Mike and Nicola, we had an extended time of prayer. And in my head, I was like, it's a lot of prayer though, isn't it? But do you know what I mean? It's like you start going through, like, we're going to pray for this, this, and this. And it's almost like a muscle sometimes. We feel like it's a muscle that we need to work on because I guess, like, to be just so focused on saying it's really important to pray and to dedicate ourselves to prayer, because when we pray, things happen. These guys saw wonders and awe happen because they were praying regularly. People were added to their number daily because they were praying regularly. All of a sudden, you start building up this thing that it's really important to pray. And as I was preparing this, I felt God give me something around, I guess, that encouragement of this. I don't know if we've got any cyclists here or active cyclists, but generally in cycling, I guess I always, probably a non-cyclist, would say there are two types of cyclists that I think there are. The first type is, once you've got to a hill and you go down, you stop pedaling. You know the ones? You're a coaster. That's what I refer to it. Just like, I stop pedaling and I just go. Let the momentum take me. And the second type of cyclist is probably a more hardcore cyclist. You know, the one who's going to be like, I'm just going to keep pedaling, keep this speed going. And I felt that God say to me through this that he wants us to be a people who will just keep going. And when we've been filled with the Spirit, to keep going. Stay in that place. Let's not look to sort of think, I'm all right. I have in terms of a sort of another thing around this, that when I was thinking about it, I felt God, you know, like a petrol tank that you have, like almost like a Holy Spirit tank that we all have inside us, possibly, and with a little gauge. And because it applies to me as well, and this is a challenge that I find, because sometimes when you're preaching, you need to be the first person to hear the message. And this challenge for me was that, how often do we sometimes find that on a Sunday morning there's a call for prayer or there's a call to receive the Holy Spirit, and actually, instead of us thinking, yes, that's where I want to be. I want to be in that place where I'm going to go up and get some Holy Spirit. We go, I was actually filled last week, I think. And let me just check the gauge. I'm half full. I'm all right. I'm in a good place. I've got a good level of Holy Spirit in me. It's like, no, let's be people who just want to be continuously filled. Let's be people who want to, every opportunity, say, God, I want to be in that place with you because you are my Father and you have good things. And when your Spirit is on me, I can pray in situations and things can happen, and there's be a real excitement. So I don't know if that also applies to anyone else, but I think it'd be good for us just to take a moment just to pray into that over us all. And if that applies to you, that if you think you're a coaster when it comes to, like, sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and actually when there's opportunities, you think, actually, I'm all right. I just want to pray for you guys that you'd be more of those people who just want to just keep pressing on. And it applies to me as well, so I'm praying for myself as well. But Father God, we just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and the work that your Holy Spirit does in our lives and does through us. Father, I pray that for all of us, we'll be people, your people, who want to continue to stay in the place where your Holy Spirit is, to have that dwelling in us to the max, to the full, Lord, so that we can hear clearly from you. Father, please give us courage and confidence and boldness to take every opportunity we can to spend time with you in prayer and to receive your Spirit and to ask for it on a daily basis, Lord, so that we can see signs and wonders happen in this place, because you are a holy God and your Spirit enables us to minister to those around us. Lord, please be with us. Have your companion over us. Amen. So the other story of this, so obviously I know I'm just jumping around, but the other story is, this is, I guess, the story of the lame beggar. So we've just heard about Peter and John, about where they've come from, their journey, and now we see the lame beggar's story. So later on we find out he's over 40 years old. So to think that for 40 years his life would have consisted of waking up, being carried, being dropped, begging for money, all day in a dusty environment, and where people probably looked down on him for years and years and years because of his infirmity and his disability. Can you even start to imagine how that might feel? And then for the rest of the day, then he would probably be picked up, taken to wherever he was staying, wherever his lodging was, and all the money that he possibly would have earned that day, he'd possibly have to share with those who have carried him there. They'd probably say, we want our 5%, our 10% cut to carry you to this place. And as much as it's just one day for Peter and John, it's also just one day at this point in time for this lame beggar, where it's no different day. You know, he'd probably just know that the Sabbath is one day, and that's how he'd do his week, because there might be more people at the temple, for example. But when Peter and John walk past, do you know what? His life is about to change forever. And that is amazing. And it's interesting that it's Peter and John, because it almost feels like it's a similar situation. Like, I wonder if they would start to feel like, I feel like we've seen this before. Because in John chapter 5, there are similarities. And, you know, guess who wrote John? John. So he's obviously there. And he's standing next to Peter, and you feel that the cogs possibly are turning. And in summary of what happens there, there's a lame man by a different gate at a different sort of temple area. And Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? And the man says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And here's a great example of that happening, of seeing what the faith is to see those things happen in similar situations. So it's almost like you kind of think, wow, there's another lame guy by a temple gate. That seems similar there. What did Jesus do in that situation? And you start thinking, oh, what can we do in this situation? Because to be like Christ is to be Christian. And what we want to do is we want to bring heaven on earth and see people's lives transformed, lives healed. And so I guess the challenge for us all is to look out for divine appointments like this one. You know, this is a divine appointment where those paths crossed. And there's a moment where you can break out and see healing done. So let's start thinking, what could our one day be whilst we go about our daily lives? What might that look like? And as a daily request, let's ask God, please God, put someone in my path today that you want to have an impact on. Put someone in my way today that you want me to change, or you want me to minister, or to minister to, whatever that could be like. What could that be? Whether that's, you know, Tesco's or the gym or wherever. Lord, I ask for a one day situation today so that I might glorify you. Because God wants to partner with us. He doesn't want to do it, you know, we've heard, I guess, when we're looking at the 1 John series, God wants to be with us doing this. He wants his Holy Spirit to work through us and with us. He doesn't want to do things, you know, he could do things on his own, but he wants us to be involved because he created us. We're his creation. He wants to be with us, and he loves it so much more when we are with him and partnering with him. And you know what? This made a huge difference. A huge difference to this guy. All of a sudden, everything we just went through in terms of what his life would have been like was completely, completely changed in one day, in one moment. His life transformed forever. He would have been so reliant on people, now he has independence. He would have, his almost his livelihood would have come from the generous people giving him money. But now he has a chance to actually have a livelihood, to go out and to earn money and to build a life in this moment. And he can, if there's any social stigma that there was around him, he can be rid of that because he can walk. He can walk. And how is that possible? Because just one day, two guys were on their way to a prayer meeting, as you could be driving to the Gilson's house on a Monday night, and you could see some situation. You pulled over, they stopped, these guys stopped, they listened, and they responded, and they experienced the wonder of heaven, heaven on earth. So the next thing I really want like us to look at is just this exploring of what this heaven on earth looks like in this situation. So we find that in verse... six, it says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Or in the name, I say or, as if it's a really or. But the Rolling Stones released a song, didn't, which says, and one of the lyrics of that song is, you can't always get what you want, but you try, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And when Peter is, so in terms of that, he's asking for money, but that's not what he really needs in that moment, is he? Really, he would love to be healed, but his expectations are just so that I just need money to live for that next day, But the reality is that he needs to know Jesus, and he needs that, and it would be great for him to be healed, and that's what he could do with. And so when Peter starts speaking, you know, silver or gold I do not have. You can imagine this lame man's face drained, because I think mine would. I think if that's my life, just thinking, all I'm asking you is for a few coins. Do you know what I mean? Well, that's all I'm asking for. And thinking, here we go again. The disappointment that is already starting to set in. What excuse is he going to give me that I haven't already heard a billion times before? And after Peter says that, I don't have silver or gold, he says, but what I do have, I give you. And automatically, this is just naturally who I am. I think of food, I guess, thinking, oh, like, you know, he might go, but what I do have, I have food. Or he might think, oh, he might have some clothes. But then I was thinking about it, and actually, this guy would have seen them approach. Do you know what I mean? Because he'd be sitting at the gate, and he'd be seeing everyone coming forward. So he'd know that they don't have any, maybe, food on them. He'd know that they don't have blankets or not carrying clothes, or it's not like a mission to give things to the poor. All they are is just two guys with the clothes on their back. So he knows. So you start thinking, like, well, what on earth can you give me unless you're going to literally take those clothes off and give me some new clothes? And then I like to think that there's that twinkle in the eye. You know, when Jesus was ministering to people and he's talking to people, and you just almost have that warm, warm smile and that sort of, that almost look of an eye. It's really hard to describe. I guess, like, maybe you can, like, picture it for yourself, but where you just know he's got something, and you just think, oh, what is it? And it's just like a really reassuring look in his eye. And then so that of a hope, maybe, that there's something bigger to come. And the lame man is asking for money, but money's not really important in the grand scheme of things. When all is said and done, the amount of money you have, or the worldly possessions you have, they'll remain here on this earth when at the end of the day you die, because death is a thing that happens. I was going to say it's final, but I was like, it's not final if you know Jesus. And I was like, oh, just, you know. But what is important is whether you know Jesus or not. That's what's important. And God deeply cares for us and every situation we are in, but he cares more for where the heart is and where we are going in this world. Because for those who believe, death is not final. You know, for those who believe death is not final, there is eternity and there is the love of God. And in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, it says, God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to know a knowledge of the truth. And we have something inside of us so valuable that it's greater than silver or gold. We have this knowledge if we believe. We have the love of the Father in us and salvation through his Son who sacrificed himself so we might know this love. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit resting in us. And we can have confidence. Absolutely, Celine. Woo! Because he has done it all. He has done it all. And do you know what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 4:19? Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. Well, here we find Peter with his literal fishing partner. And what is he doing? He's fishing for this man's soul. He's fishing for this man's heart at the same time. And this is a challenge for me because I try to palm it off. Maybe I'll try to disqualify myself. But when we come across these divine appointments that we are asking God for, whether that's in the office, whether that's at, you know, in the home, whether that's in the school, in the supermarket, in the gym, wherever it could be, in the local public house, wherever it is, let's be bold. Yeah, church, let's be faithful. Let's not mess around. Let's be like what Peter did here. Let's be like Peter. We are called to fish for the hearts and souls of those around us. And let us try and live every one of those moments as if it was the only one we get. And this brings us to the next part of the story, the stepping out in faith. So where are we? Peter and John have met this man. They are two who are really filled with the Holy Spirit. They have realized here is a divine opportunity, a divine appointment, and they know what is inside them. They know the value of what is inside them, that they have the Holy Spirit resting in them. And do you know what it says in John chapter 14, verse 12? It says, this is Jesus speaking. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will. So it doesn't say might, it doesn't say maybe, it says will do even greater things than these. So Jesus did a load of incredible things. He did miracles and signs and wonders, and here he is, Jesus saying, you will do greater things than these that have already been performed, that have already been done. Because I'm going to my Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And there is power in the name of Jesus Christ, the King. Do you know the King? For those that believe, there is freedom, that chains can be broken, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, and the lame can walk. People can and will, it says will, receive healing in the name of Jesus. And this is where I guess we get to my favourite part of this story, this stepping out of faith. So it says, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is Peter saying to this lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he doesn't just sit back. It says he's taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And he praises God after that. He praises God because he shared. But in the moment, it's a faith step, isn't it? That we pray for healing. But what is that faith step? What is the step that we take that we say, I believe it. Let me help you up. I believe it because I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe it. Let me help you up because I trust in the words that I'm saying. I trust in He who is the Father, and I trust in His Son, and I trust in His Holy Spirit because there is power there. This is the faith step I'm taking. There's a story I came across that a colleague of mine was shared with me about. There was a village. There was a severe drought going on in this village, and the pastor of the church gathered everyone together and said, "Let's pray together for the rain." So everyone is gathering around to pray for the rain. And as the pastor's going to the front to lead this service for the prayer for rain, he notices a girl in the front row, a small girl, a 9-year-old girl. And guess what she's got with her? She's got an umbrella at this prayer meeting. Do you know what I mean? She brought an umbrella to the prayer meeting. Why? Because she's expecting God to move. It's not a case of, I'm just going to go to the prayer meeting. Father, Lord, please let there be rain. Okay, great. Let's go home. No, she's saying, God, there's going to be, I believe in you. I believe in the power of your Son. And I believe that if we ask you in the name of Jesus for it to rain, it will rain. So I've got that faith. So what I'm going to do, I don't want to get wet. I'm going to bring an umbrella along. You know, I'm going to bring an umbrella along because I trust in him. And we see it in other areas of the scriptures. You know, there's the bleeding woman. And it says she reached out. I mean, she reached out and touched Jesus. If I can just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. And guess what? She touched his cloak, she was healed. And then there's the centurion as well, who travels all that way and just says, God, well, says Jesus, just let it, just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's how much faith I've got, that I don't even need to bring my servant. I just need to come to you and ask for my servant to be healed and you will heal him. And the Bible doesn't say, you know, nowhere in here, this book, does it say, by the time we get to 2017, the time of signs and wonders has ended. It doesn't say that at all. You know, it says that greater things will happen in my name. When you ask things in the name of Jesus Christ, greater things will happen. So if we can get the guys in the band just to come up and play quietly. I guess what I've been talking about is that let's recognize as a church that God wants to partner with us. So that's first. Let's recognize that God wants to partner with us. And then let's ask for divine opportunities to see God partner with us. And then let's recognize that if we believe, there is something of true value inside of us. You know, we know that love. We know that love and we can trust in Jesus. And then we can pray, I guess, and we can pray and we can ask God in the name of Jesus Christ to break out into various situations.